Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Gifted Whisperer Show, the show on Wednesdays here, streaming from Colorado. I am your host, Marlene Prinzing, and it used to be called the Prinzing Show, but I got as many laughs and cracks as I could out of that title because everyone thought I was in the printing business and that I sold newspapers and really thought I was old school. So that's the end of that name. Even though it is still my last name, we have changed the name of the show from the Prinzing Show, which everyone thought was the Printing Show. We have changed it to something very obvious and simple, the Gifted Whisperer Show. I have also changed my website, but you can still find me on the PrinzingMethod.com. But also, even more fun is my new website, GiftedWhisperer.com. And as some of you know, I have a show here on Blog Talk on Wednesdays, and I like to interview people who have something to give and help others. We're here to spread good news. We're here to give information, to educate, and create kind of a collective community here of individuals who help others. Most of my guests are healers themselves and or some kind of healthcare practitioner. However, I've had the gamut of people who are in business simply wanting to help small business, to even people in Canada and United States, to marketing experts, to life coaches, to acupuncturists, so all kinds of people. So today, we have a wonderful and most exciting and unique guest. He and I have some commonalities, like most of my guests have some kind of commonality with me, because I think like attracts like. So our guest today, I'll tell you a few words about him before we bring him on the show. His name is John C. Like Cat, Byler, B-Y-L-E-R. And I'm going to give you his email right off the bat, which is something I normally don't do. However, his email sort of says it all. His email to contact him is mildtbi@gmail.com. I lied. That's not gmail.com. It's mildt, like Tom, B like boy, at gmail. If I turn a dot and put a thing in there, I screw the whole thing up. So, I'm going to leave that for the listeners so that they have to figure out what the acronym stands for, because that's what the show is going to be all about today. TBI, what in the world must that be? Of course, if you have a TBI, you are absolutely not questioning that. But if you don't, or you're not helping someone who does, then perhaps you want to continue to listen. The guest today, John, has co-authored a book, and the title is fabulous. The title is You Look Great, Strategies for Living Inside a Brain Injury. Okay, there we go. Cat's out of the bag. We know what the show is going to be about now. But he has very unique approaches to this. I have some approaches of my own, of course, being a somatic therapist and yoga therapist and being the gifted whisperer that I am. So we'll see how those two go together. The commonality here, right before I bring John onto the show, is that he, as an adult, had a brain injury, a head injury, and his life changed from A to B, in a sense, in one given lifetime. The difference is I was born with one. My brain injury, head injury, happened while I was still in the womb. So I never knew any different, but John did. He has a whole different perspective. So let's go ahead without further ado.
Hi, Marlene, can you hear me?
Okay, we got it now. That was
okay.
Our first electronic faux pas.
Can you hear me okay?
I know, we're good now. We're good.
Okay.
We're good, we're here. So how are you today?
I'm fine, thanks. There's a distant train whistle blowing, which is kind of appropriate. I'm in central Kansas, out on the Great Plains, and
yeah.
We hear that sound about once a day. And it's...
Wow.
There's a great song that says there's no lonesome in your whistle anymore.
Let's use that.
Well, Marlene,
as a great
you have a colorful story. It's almost a shame to talk about me. But since I'm your guest, I certainly will, depending on where you want to start.
Well, we'll find the commonalities for sure, because I think we both have sort of a rich life this lifetime around and lessons to learn and lessons to share. And I always like the it's kind of a, I'm going to call it a theory, that the Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill, says that when two like minds get together, and funny I say minds when we're going to be speaking of brain injuries, when two like minds get together and have a common sort of desire and theme and message, that then they say that there is a third invisible mind that is then created from that, that is stronger than the individual minds by themselves.
That's very interesting.
Right? So it is
Yeah.
sort of a collective coming together that that perhaps me interviewing you and we finding the commonality that you and I have, we then can present ourselves in the world in a stronger way to help others. So what goes on.
Well, when we first met last week and we talked on the phone, our conversation just took off. And we were not for a lack of words. And I said, well, will there be sort of a green room before the Tonight Show meeting? And you said, I don't think that'll be necessary. So here we are.
Yeah, because the show here, like I did mention to you, I have been in theater and dance all my life. And the authenticness of this show and the authenticness of live performance that I grew up in, really has a different feel to it than some sort of coined, regimented thing. And today we're so full of that, and thus this is a perfect segue to go into sort of sensory integration and senses that go on and are disturbing sometimes to someone with a brain injury, where this whole world that we're in right now is so chaotic as far as senses go.
Mm-hmm.
So say some things about that, about perhaps how your senses have changed or your perception of the world has changed because you as an adult have a head injury.
Oh, okay, that's an easy one. You know the expression, looking at the world through rose-tinted glasses. I can tell you, speaking for a lot of people with brain injuries, that we experience the world through this new throbbing, aching brain of ours. And every day is a challenge to get up,
yeah.
to function, to think positively. And I was on the phone last evening with a new friend. His name is Shannon Mocha, M-O-C-C-A, a former football player. And, boy, talk about having lots to talk about. My experience didn't happen on the gridiron. It didn't happen out in Iraq or Afghanistan. I'm just an average guy who got hit
yeah.
at high speed from behind in a 93 Volvo, which is a very sturdy car. The trunk was smashed. And I walked away from it with my middle son, Andrew. He actually broke 3 vertebrae in his back. And because we walked away from it, we thought, okay, the worst is behind us. And we had no idea what was ahead.
Right.
No idea. And one of the things I share with the reason they call it mild traumatic brain injury, I mean, that's an oxymoron if you've ever heard one. Mild traumatic.
Yeah.
Is you know, you wonder, mild compared to what? And then
uh-huh.
when you go to a rehab hospital, you see what they're comparing you to. You know, I wasn't paralyzed.
Right.
I wasn't in a coma. You know, you're the walking wounded. And
yeah.
and sometimes you even look great, you know, especially if you've
yeah.
got a fan going. And but what goes on inside becomes a very lonely world. And that's why when I talk with other survivors of brain injury, we hit it off right away. We might not
uh-huh.
have anything in common except our brain
uh-huh.
injury. And
right.
we
right.
immediately latch on and say, you understand, when so many
uh-huh.
others who love us don't understand. They try and
right.
they don't.
Right. And that's the wonderfulness of the title of your book, is that we are walking around, and even more ironic for me is I was in the public eye in some sort in theater and dance, and I also did modeling. And so it carries this title of your book into a whole other realm, which is, you look great.
Yes, so what could possibly
right?
be wrong?
So yeah. I think it's a really good educational tool for people whose injuries are on the outside. Because I have the same kind of reason of explaining. You're trying to explain it and explain it and explain it because no one can see it or they can't feel it, you know, unless they're psychic like me.
Right. Well, right? I finished my injury was 10 years ago in September. And about a year into it, within that first year, I couldn't speak very clearly. I couldn't even listen to music much. I wasn't reading at all. But long about a year later, my speech-language pathologist suggested I come and speak to his graduate school students who were training to be some form of clinician to support brain injury patients. And so I just took that as a challenge. I used to be a writer, and so I wrote up a script. Took a long, long time. And that kind of became the basis for the book, which took me about almost 5 years to write with the help of my my sister-in-law. Now my former sister-in-law, she has a PhD, and so she was actually helping me expand the vision for the book and really get into more detail. But I finished the first draft, what I considered the final draft, in the middle of 2011. But what I should have done was taken a break, taken a vacation, something, but I didn't. I saw the headline that long about 2011, the suicide rate among veterans exceeded the combat rate. And I felt I knew why.
God.
Because they were returning home, looking fine. Mm-hmm. Maybe they didn't lose any limbs. But they did not have any strategies for living inside their brain injury. And so I doubled my efforts and spent the next 5 months until the very end of 2011 really beefing up the sections on clinical depression, on suicide, on living this new life. I knew veteran hardened, battle-hardened veterans would be reading this, and I knew it had to have credibility. And so I'm quite proud of the final product, which has a 2012 copyright date.
Yeah, and people can get this on Amazon, and anybody listening to the show, of course, I've got the direct link here for Amazon. But this is also a
print
good time
or Kindle.
To give...
Yeah, either way.
Okay. This is also a good time to give your website, just to verbally give it, in case someone is listening and doesn't have access to the marketing text here. So
that's a work in progress. Yeah, I'm not really comfortable. There's a couple websites that have been works in progress, and I just haven't really nailed it down. So I'm not sure I can, they were things that were started and stopped like so much in our lives. And so I'll let you know when a website that I can be as proud of as the book.
Okay, but people can still contact you through the email that I gave out?
Sure, and also, you know, the thing is, go to YouTube and type in You Look Great and Byler, B-Y-L-E-R, and there's a great six-minute entry into the Neuro Film Festival back in 2011. My son Chris did. It's great. It's gotten a lot of views, and it's basically our case for brain research. And actually, you're familiar with Vimeo, V-I-M-E-O? Vimeo has the six-minute version as well as the 55-minute version of You Look Great.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, back in 2008, Chris posted the 55-minute video in six parts on YouTube. That's when you're only allowed 10 minutes at a time. And got thousands of views. And I got so much email just saying how it gave them a vocabulary, a way to compare their brain injury with mine to their loved ones.
Mm.
Well, YouTube blocked part six because we used a song without permission. And so Chris went ahead and put the whole thing up in one piece on Vimeo. So if you go to Vimeo, you can see the whole 55-minute film. A lot of people have found it very, very helpful. So that they wrote to me things like, it made me feel I'm not alone in this. I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
I'm not lazy. I have a brain injury, and I need a proper diagnosis.
Yes, yeah. And I've seen that YouTube video, the six-minute one. It is accurate from my point of view as well. And everybody who has a brain injury will say the same thing. They're like, oh, my God, I'm just going to show this to everybody so I don't have to keep talking about it.
Well, you know, one thing that really opened my eyes was what we mean by trauma to the brain, because people were telling me, that's my story too. and their injury was nothing like mine. They might have had herpes encephalitis or an aneurysm or a stroke, and somehow their injury left them in the same place that I was. And so there's this connection with people that is quite profound.
Yeah. So you also mentioned the start and stop in regards to your website. And I have to say that is exactly what goes on when you are living a life with a brain injury, is you really do go through phases of starting and stopping things, only to the extent that your abilities and your creativeness and your internal sense of how to finish and do and complete and make sense of things. So
yeah.
I think that's actually part of it, is I think being aware of that, giving yourself permission to sort of start and stop and go back and redo and undo is really part of the rehab, of rehabbing yourself.
It is.
Right?
Just the basic principle of saying, hey, you're doing the best you can. You're not about completion the way you were every day in your professional life. You know,
right.
You're not about being as productive as you were before the injury. You're as productive as you have to be, and you're a human being, which has inherent, or I should say, who has inherent worth. We are worthy creatures beyond what we produce. And that's an insight that comes to you when you spend days and weeks and years in dark places and just alone with your thoughts and alone with deep, deep prayer.
Right. So it looks like from your book that you and your co-author got some of these recovery models from Spalding Rehabilitation Hospital. Is that correct?
Well, I inferred the model. My professional career, I was an instructional designer, so I put together corporate training, anything from a 15-minute self-study to a 3-week in-class training. And so I was observing, as a patient, the process they were using. And they
used wonderful.
A team model. So I called it the Brain Injury Recovery Team Model. And
as
I was finishing up the book in late 2011, I decided, you know, I am onto something here. And so I applied to 3 brain injury conferences, and I got into all 3. Boom, boom, boom. And I felt like God was tapping me on the shoulder saying, I'm not done with you yet.
Right. So let's tell the listeners a little bit about these models and your what you call the multidisciplinary approach to recovery and the team model, to give little just tidbits for listeners to do and to be aware of.
Sure. The middle 2 chapters of the book, one is the recovery team and the other is the therapy team. The medical team, it should be a checklist, because I'll state the problem. The problem is a patient, whether he's a veteran or a football player or a guy like me in a car accident, says to his general practitioner, I feel terrible. Well, the doctor starts saying, are you depressed? Yes. Are you anxious? Yes. Okay, out come the medication. I'm saying, hold on, stop. Before you start medicating your patient, let's have a checklist. Okay, so here's the checklist on the medical side. There are 7.
Okay.
1, endocrinologist. Get an endocrinology workup. My MRI looks fine to the naked eye. But finally, 5 years after into my injury, I was told, why don't you go see an endocrinologist who looked at the same MRI and looked at the pituitary gland and saw it was damaged, and went in for a second MRI, 45 minutes, and sure enough, my testosterone levels were deeply affected. And no wonder I was feeling terrible in 2006, 2007, and 2008. No one told me that it was under 100. Okay. So the first on the list on the medical team, see an endocrinologist. The next 3 have the word neuro in front of them. The neuropsychiatrist, a neuropsychologist, and a neurooptometrist. It's not enough simply to see a psychiatrist, psychologist, or optometrist. These have to be specialists. Now, these are easily Googleable, so I won't go into detail, but I will say about the neuropsychologist, that's going to be a very important measure for you. We call traumatic brain injury the invisible injury. So how do you quantify an invisible injury? Okay.
Uh-huh.
One thing you do is you go through a 6 to 8 hour neuropsych exam spread out over 3 days, and you'll score brilliant on some things, because we can still be smart people. But are we functional? Hardly. That's when you'll see drops in things like processing speed, what shape comes next, a full retention of the thing you just read. Okay, so a neuropsychologist is very important to go see. Then psychopharmacologist, somebody who really understands brain chemistry. And I'm on a bit of an anti-medication jag right now. I've seen so many friends of mine, their brains and my brain just get absolutely pickled with the brine of, you know, 3, 4, 5 medications that have no business being taken. We're not bipolar, mm-hmm. for example.
Right.
Now, the last two, so I did endocrinologist and then neuropsychiatrist, neuropsychologist, neurooptometrist, psychopharmacologist, and then the last two are pretty basic too, sleep study. Why might you feel terrible? Well, maybe you have apnea that you didn't have before. Go get a sleep study. You need to be sure that you're sleeping through the night, and they might have you wear a CPAP. That's fine, because your brain will heal when you get a good night's sleep. And then vestibular testing. That's the last one on the medical side. Now, our injuries really overlap in a lot of ways, but they also diverge. And they can be ironic. One of my friends who's in my book as a case study, he was a fireman, and the brass part of the hose fell on top of his head. And his ironic injury is he can't step on a ladder anymore. His sense of balance is gone. That doesn't affect me, but get vestibular testing. So that's the medical team. It's not a superstar neurologist who's going to get you better. And I had a superstar neurologist. He was the chairman of Harvard Medical School. His last name is Zafont. You can look him up. Ross Zafont, Zafonte. Terrific guy. And he said something very interesting to me to show you how far we need to come in what we know about neurotrauma rehabilitation. He said, John, I can't promise to cure you or heal you, but let's work together to improve the quality of your life by 25%. And I said, I'm in. And that was my goal with my book. If I can improve the quality of their life by 25%, then I'm going to be doing something significant. So that's the medical side. And the therapy side, I won't go into any detail, but occupational therapist, physical therapist, social worker, speech-language pathologist, and vocation rehab counselor. My MVP on my team was my speech-language pathologist. His name was Rick Sanders. He also had a degree from Harvard Divinity School. So we just had these interesting conversations, and he has a heart of gold. And he helped me more than anybody, really, deal with the language issues and other things. And the social worker helped, too. I thought, why do I need a social worker, you know, upper-middle-class guy? Well, the social worker helps you navigate the world of social interactions, which proved to be the downfall of a number of relationships in my life.
Yes.
So that's the model in a nutshell. And
I love it. No, it's good. I think that is very helpful for everyone to know that there are those very specific entities along the way that they can put into sort of a package and look at it and then prioritize perhaps who they want to see when and start peeling off the onion.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question for you. I do a lot also with a sensory integration disorder, which an occupational therapist would do. I do it from a somatic and sort of a neurological standpoint as well. I actually have the ability, and I think I got this from the head injury, so that'll be another question. I think I have some abilities that other people don't because I was born with a head injury.
Mm.
So I have an ability to what I call read and translate somatic tissue memory. So I can get into people's tissue, and I never take a history on any of my clients because when they come in, it's almost as if their body to me is the blueprint of their life. And I can see the whole thing. And it doesn't matter if I've seen them in 20 years and then they come back, I see them again, I can read the whole thing. And this just reminds me of this what you're talking about, the social workers and social interaction and sort of sensory integration. So a side question for you. I don't know if you have any sort of sensory integration issues with what your head injury is, but I don't think a lot of people know about this. What is your experience with this, with sensory integration and your own personal reactions from the head injury?
You know, I've never heard it put that way, and I've never heard it discussed, sensory integration. I guess I would need, I mean, I've got a number of challenges that I face, and I'm trying to fit them into what you've said about that. If you can give me an example, maybe that would be helpful.
Yeah, and this is the reason I say it, is because I do think it's not common, meaning I don't know that people have a word for it or the language for it. And your YouTube video is exactly this. And it's the YouTube video here that John has, it shows, I shouldn't say it shows, I'm going to use more auditory. It has sounds as if there's almost too much of the senses coming in, or there's an interpretation, right? Or there's an interpretation of the senses that is either too much or too less. This is what is termed sensory integration, and it's on every level.
So if I were to say we experience sensory overload, that's because we are deficient in sensory integration. Okay.
Good.
So
good.
Generally
overload.
Speaking, people talk too fast for us.
Mm.
I think part of the reason we often stutter is that we want to keep our foot in the door of the conversation, and it's our way of saying, I'm not quite done with the sentence yet. So, sensory integration, that's a really interesting term, because, yes, we do experience that every day, all day.
Yes. And I think this is a larger umbrella to this model that you described, because under the umbrella of sensory integration is vestibular, is neuro everything, is endocrine everything, is biochemical, physiological everything as well. So if anybody wants to put it in a nice, neat little understandable box, they literally could look up this word, sensory integration, and perhaps they would see themselves in it, where it would say, things to me are too loud, things to me are too bright, things to me are not like everyone else sees them, that kind of thing.
Having a term for it legitimizes it. In the same way as at Spalding, there was a brochure, you know, what is mild TBI? Brochure about it? It must be official, you know. And they said, well, take a yellow highlighter and highlight the symptoms that apply to you and give it to your loved ones. And so that was a very helpful, tactical way to show, you know, this is not my imagination, people. Other patients have this condition called mild traumatic brain injury. Here's you know, with the yellow highlighter, here's what my symptoms are, and the others not so much. So it's a way of saying what your fingerprint is, you know. Each of our injuries, while there's a lot of overlap, there's still things that are only I experience. Only I know the exact ache and throb of my head, you know?
Yeah. Well, this has just been a wonderful conversation. We could, of course, you and I talk about this forever, and you do perhaps in workshops that you do, and then I do with my clients. So you and I may work together in the future. We don't even know what that looks like, but But I just want to thank you for being on the show. We have like a minute and a half here. Any last words from you before I cut off?
Sure. I mean, there are some things that have been very helpful to me. I'm a Christian, and so I started taking daily communion as a way of really knowing and affirming that my sins are forgiven and that I don't have to bear my afflictions and diseases anymore, that Jesus did that. The other thing that has helped me is a new supplement that even a local doctor has heard about. It's called EHT. If you go on YouTube and type in Dr. Daniel Amen of the Amen Clinics, he recently gave this presentation saying he's using EHT. And so I started taking it a couple months ago, and I have noticed some improvements. I feel better about certain things. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you.
There's a lot of hope. I mean, I think we just need to leave people with hope, that there's hope. You know, I'm 10 years into this. And
I agree.
Yeah, and if we continue to reach out to each other, not just you and me, I mean the audience out there, you know, let's stay in touch. And, you know, I think there's actually, I'm more optimistic now than I have been before ever in the past 10 years. I think some things are starting to come together. And
perfect.
There's an army out there waiting to be mobilized, basically.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you for joining us. We just ended our show, and check with us next time. Thank you again, John.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Marlene. Take care. Yep. Bye-bye.